Welcome to the Language Games Podcast. My name is John Kaus. Today is part one of our series on whether John Frame is a Vantillian. Now, at the start, we just need to clarify that this is not about Frame's work in theology in general. It's not about his contribution to the Reformed community, which has been extensive over the last 50-plus years. It's not about his contribution to or influence on Bonson's personal life and also professional life, and Bonson's even just academic growth at Westminster, which of course is, you know, Bonson has attested to and is well known. It's not about any of that. All this is addressing is whether John Frame's view of Van Til's apologetic is Vantillian. That's what we're going to address in this series. Well, let's get into it. So in the book that we're going to focus on mostly is Apologetics, A Justification of Christian Belief. And this book originally was titled Apologetics to the Glory of God. It was retitled for this big update that they did. Joseph Torres writes in the introduction, AGG has served as an introduction to Christian apologetics from a presuppositional or Vantillian perspective for 20 years. This re-release of AGG, or Apologetics to the Glory of God, is long overdue. I suggest three reasons why. AGG's biblical perspective on the discipline of apologetics, the constant need to clarify what Vantillian or presuppositional apologetics really is and is not, and a new generation of readers. So notice this book is saying that it is clarifying what Van Til's apologetic is and it is and is not. Now what we're going to see is that it actually it doesn't clarify things at all. It just adds more confusion. This book does not represent Van Til's apologetic at all. It is in error. It is not Vantillian. It's actually, ironically, a disguised evidentialism, and we'll get into why that is. Now, what has happened, and I don't think Frame intended for this to happen, but what has happened since this book came out and Bonson died is people have started to associate with a Framian view of Vantillian apologetics. And so we say, I'm a Vantillian, but I side with Frame instead of Bonson, as if that's possible. And we're going to show that that's not possible, that the Framian Vantillians are not actually Vantillians. They need to get a different name. They should just be Framians. They should just be, which is really just evidential apologetics that likes to use terms that are Vantillian, at least sounding Vantillian, but presented evidentially. And we'll get into that later. All right, so in looking at this contrast then between the Framian Vantillians and the Bonson Vantillians comes down to what is a Vantillian? What is a Vantillian? Well, we can give various definitions of this, but minimally, in any definition of a Vantillian, needs to be someone who agrees with Van Til's apologetic as formulated by Van Til. If you say you're a Calvinist, how we use that term minimally is that you agree with the 5 points of Calvinism, TULIP. And if you say you're a Vantillian, how we use that term is that you at least agree with Van Til's apologetic as expressed by Van Til. So naturally then, we should go to Van Til's writings, which we'll do here right now with a short sample. And we could do many more quotes from this, but it's fairly straightforward from Van Til's writings. He says, "But the best and only possible proof for the existence of such a God is that his existence is required for the uniformity of nature and for the coherence of all things in the world. God's existence," so the proposition that God exists, and we'll go on later and see the truth of Christianity, "is necessary for there to be reasoning, to be rationality." He writes, "It is but to say that Christianity alone is rational. It is but to say that if one leaves the foundation of the presupposition of the truth of the Christian religion, one falls into the quagmire of the utterly irrational. No intelligent predication or reasoning is possible except on the basis of the truth that is the absolute truth of Christianity. There is no other worldview that is rational. Christianity alone is rational. It is an insult to the living God to say that his revelation of himself so lacks in clarity that man, himself through and through a revelation of God, does justice by it when he says that God probably exists." Van Til could not be more forceful here. It is an insult to God to take his revelation, which is what we're doing in apologetics, and reasoning to the conclusion that he probably exists. It is an insult to the living God to do that. He says, to say that the evidence merely shows that God probably exists is tantamount to saying that he does not at all exist. The God of Christianity is the God whose counsel or plan is the source of possibility. The word possibility has no possible meaning except upon the presupposition of the existence of the self-contained ontological Trinity as the source of it. So God determines what is possible or not. God determines that. So if you talk about things like he probably exists, you already have a notion of possibility that's not Christian, because he's back of all possibility. So if he's back of all possibility, how does it make sense to talk about him probably existing? He writes, even when they conclude that a God exists, and that with great probability, they are virtually saying that God does not exist. For the true God is not surrounded by, but is the source of possibility. He could not possibly not exist. We cannot intelligently think away God's existence. So any apologetic, any argument that concludes that God probably exists, or it probably follows that God exists, or it probably follows, or likely follows, or is highly likely that Christianity is true, is not a Christian argument, according to Van Til. It is not, so clearly then, not a Vantillian argument. And Bahnsen, of course, agrees with this, because he's a Vantillian. He says, and by pressing the unbelieving worldview to its consistent conclusions, we come to see the transcendental necessity, and thus the epistemic certainty, not merely the probability, of the Christian worldview. Anyone who knows Van Til's teaching and writings knows that he never tired of making known this high demand for the task of apologetics. We cannot allow, and this is, he's quoting Van Til here, we cannot allow that if rational argument is carried forth on two premises, it should come to any other conclusion. No other conclusion is possible than that Christianity is true. Van Til aims for rational certainty, Bahnsen says, while his critics settle for far less, namely probability. He writes, because Clark has this illegitimate notion of possibility in his apologetical system, a notion which lies behind even his beliefs about God and God's word, it is inevitable that he should cease to be a genuine presuppositionalist. If you take possibility, the way that Clark looks at it, evidentialists look at it, where God is not the back of possibility, that we can reason and it's possible and probable or even likely that God exists, then you cannot be a presuppositionalist. Logically, if you're going to be consistent, you cannot be a presuppositionalist. Well, we turn then to Frame's book, and in the very beginning, he denies that he gives arguments with certainty. In fact, he brings this out. He says, Van Til always said that there was an absolutely certain argument for Christianity, but he rarely produced an example except in the barest outline form. I actually agree with that. I think that Van Til, he painted the picture. It was fuzzy in many places, needs to be clarified. And I think we do that. Bahnsen obviously did a lot of great work toward that, and we've done that in the Van Til's Apologetics series. He goes on, I am somewhat less inclined to make the claim of an absolutely certain argument for reasons that appear within. Okay, so right off the bat then, by less inclined, really, he means not ever. Okay, when you read the book, Frame does not agree with that Van Til's apologetic presents an argument that is absolutely certain. Okay, well, if Van Til says that's what his argument is, then you're not a Vantillian. I mean, we should be done with this from the very beginning of this book. I don't know, understand why this is so complicated or why people don't get that Frame is not a Vantillian, but he's not. Look at this. So we have Van Til and Bahnsen say Van Til's apologetic is one of epistemic certainty. Frame says Van Til's apologetic is not one of epistemic certainty. Okay, so that together is inconsistent. The conjunction of those two propositions are false, or is false. Van Til and Bahnsen say probable arguments are inconsistent with Van Til's apologetic. Frame says probable arguments are consistent with Van Til's apologetic. Again, both of these two are inconsistent with each other. So the issue is not whether we side with Frame against Bahnsen in interpreting Van Til. The issue is whether Van Til and Bahnsen are mistaken about Van Til's apologetic, and whether Frame, then, is right. Now, if they are mistaken, then we should modify Van Til's apologetic. And we're actually going to show next time. Then it would just go away. If they're wrong on this point, then it's just evidentialism. They're just probabilistic evidential arguments. And Van Til's apologetic isn't actually unique at all. It would just fade away, and we would just go back to regular evidential apologetics. So if Frame is right, then Van Til's apologetic is gone, and we'll show, then Frame can't be a Van Tilian because it has no real distinct meaning from evidentialism. If Bahnsen and Bahnsen are not mistaken about Van Til's apologetic, then Frame is not a Van Tilian. And so Frame, either way, is not a Van Tilian. If he's right, Van Tilianism doesn't really have any distinctives that are meaningful in contrast to what an evidentialist can be. And if he's wrong, if Frame is wrong about this, then he's not a Van Tilian. So either way, he's not a Van Tilian. And we'll pick that up, more of that up next week. All right, for more content like this, you can find us on X at _language_games. See you next time.